With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to an emergency Silver and Black Cryecast. Today, we're going to talk about the Raiders' first game of the season, unless there's something else that's going on. Is there anything else that's
Well, you know, it's been a slow day in Raiders news, to be honest with you. But there was a roster transaction. The Raiders released a wide receiver whose name I can't recall at the moment.
Oh, well, it must just been one of the guys hanging on the edge of the on the fringe of the roster. Then here, let me see if I can pull this up. Antonio Brown, have you heard of this guy?
He was a guy out of Central Michigan a few years ago. I think the Steelers drafted him in the fifth round, but he didn't last there.
Yeah. Oh well, that's not really that important. Sorry, this is just, I'm just so incredulous at this point. This is the most ridiculous thing ever. Obviously, the news of the day is the Raiders have released Antonio Brown per his request. I hope you all have been following along with what's been going on, because it's really hard to try and recap in a short period of time. We'd probably take up the entire podcast trying to recap where this began and where it went to. The shortest I can say is that he was given a couple fines for missing practices, and he got angry and he put something out on Instagram with a picture of the fines, and then confronted Mike Mayock in practice and threatened to hit him in the face and called him a cracker and punted the ball, said, "Fine me for that." And so the Raiders did fine him for that after threatening essentially to suspend him. So the fine was, you know, in lieu of the suspension, but it was the fine also carried with it, it was for conduct that did the guaranteed money in his contract, and Antonio Brown wasn't going to play on a game by game basis. So he asked the Raiders to release him, and they did. Did I get it all?
I think that's basically the gist of it. But this has been a personal hell for anybody who's been covering the Raiders on a professional basis for the last 6 months or so. It just seems like every day I wake up and I have to check all of the social media that I am connected to see what did Antonio Brown do while I was asleep. Because honestly, I dread going to bed anymore, because I know that if I go to bed, Antonio Brown is awake doing something stupid, and I have to get up in the morning and I have to write about it. And that's not the way I would like to live.
No, I mean, I play this game of fool me 56 times, you won't fool me again type of situation. Just when you think, hey, it's Saturday, the Raiders aren't playing till Monday, maybe I can, you know, take it a little bit easy today. You know, when you get that phone call that wakes you up in the morning and you know, oh no, what has he done this time? And I mean, in that recap of what he did, we didn't even mention the video he put out last night. I mean, he had made
it's
his
crazy
apology in the morning, and we thought, oh, okay, good, great. He's back at practice. Gruden says he's planning on playing in the game, and you just knew this isn't the end of it. This isn't the end.
No.
And the day wasn't even done yet, and he was already back at it.
Well, I read something on Twitter where it said that once Antonio Brown's contract guarantees ran out in Pittsburgh, he got his way out of town, and as soon as his guarantees were voided in Oakland, he got his way out of town again. So the man is clearly looking for guaranteed money, but he won't put in the effort or the quality of character to actually deserve it or keep it. So I don't know where he goes from here.
I can't even imagine he goes anywhere, certainly not in not for guaranteed money. I mean, no one's going to give that to him. He goes around, and this the thing about that video we put up last night, there were a lot of questions, and I had right out of the gate about this video. First of all, I mean, and I said this in the article, and first of all, did he have Gruden's permission to record this phone call? I mean, California is a two-party consent state to record phone calls. That's he could get in a lot of trouble for that. Second of all, is Gruden okay with him recording his phone calls? Third of all, did he have any knowledge that he was going to use that recording in a video? And of course, is he okay with that? And Chris Mortensen, supposedly, you know, he called him up and Gruden, you know, I guess just kind of laughed it off and said it was amusing and awesome. But I think if we've learned anything about Gruden, when he'll laugh things off in such a way that makes you think, I'm going to strangle you.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing to just because it's the only alternative at this point. And he's pretty incredulous at this point too. And he said it was, quote, awesome. Yeah. I mean, have you ever said awesome in such a way that you didn't really mean that? Oh yeah. That's just, that's awesome. That's awesome.
The video certainly
I'm
that
about
did,
this whole situation.
The video certainly did give me a sense of awe, but it was more awe as in, wow, this video is the ramblings of a madman. Because I watched it a couple of times. The first time I was like, oh man, this video is cool. You know, Antonio Brown,
yeah.
John Gruden has his back and he wants to be a Raider, and that's great. And I watched it again and I was like, this man is insane.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Just,
the
more times you watch the video, the worse it gets, to be honest with you.
And I feel like I've heard him say that before. This, and I think he said it on Hard Knocks, where he said, "There's a villain out here in the media, villain on my TV." Like he's so delusional that he thinks this whole thing is all just a big fabrication. It's all made up. This isn't he's not the bad guy in any of this. What are they all talking about? All while he's digging his own grave.
He's got a victim complex. I think that's pretty obvious. He thinks everyone's out to get him, but you know the media's not the one who kicked a Browns punter in the face while they were running down the field either. You know, he just doesn't seem the type of guy who can take personal responsibility for his actions, and that's the mentality of a child. And I think that's what he's displayed essentially for the last several years of his career. You know, and I don't want to, you know, be an armchair psychiatrist or anything here, but ever since he got laid out by Vontaze Burfict and he suffered a head injury, his behavior has been erratic ever since then, and it's only been getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who think that this could be a CTE-type situation. It's erratic is one way of putting it. I've said it's irrational, entirely irrational, and people, even in the face of this situation with Mayock in practice, I saw he's not provoking anybody. He's the GM. I mean, I've been at a lot of practices. He's usually there. The GM is usually on the field. Reggie McKenzie was usually on the field. He's down there watching the team that he put together and talking to the coaches, talking to Mark Davis, who's often there as well. There's no reason why he should avoid the sideline because his star receiver is upset about something. That doesn't make any sense. That's absurd on its face. And the idea that Antonio Brown would approach Mayock and instigate this and escalate it to the point where he had to be pulled away. If you still at this point, or even 2 days ago, if you were still at the point where you thought that this was something that was far-fetched, not expect Antonio Brown to do, or that a situation that could happen, then you have not been paying attention, because he escalates quickly. He doesn't let go of things. And he, like I said before, he just keeps digging his own grave over and over again. He gets upset about something and then he makes it worse. And now it's come to this. Now he's gone.
We can see that very principle in the way that he's dealt with the Steelers since he got traded away from them. He's constantly talked smack about Juju. He's constantly talked smack about Ben Roethlisberger when Roethlisberger really hasn't said anything super inflammatory since that time. But he gets on his social media and he just shoots barbs at him, shoots arrows at him, like on a weekly basis since then for no reason whatsoever other than he holds a grudge and he can't let things go. And I was hopeful that he would be able to put this aside and play for the Raiders, but clearly he's not able to do that.
Well, I think a lot of people were hopeful of that, the Raiders being chief among them. They wouldn't have traded for him if they thought that he would continue to be an issue. I think that the thinking was, well, we're going to take a chance on a big-time talent. We're going to take a chance that his issues were with Pittsburgh, were with the players and the coaches or whomever in Pittsburgh, and give him another shot. And if we treat him in such a way, if we handle him with kid gloves and we be supportive of him all along the way, that we're going to get the best version of him and we're going to get his talent on the football team. And at times it seemed like they were getting the best version of him, but you never knew how long that was going to last. And you realized pretty quickly that lasts like not even a day. He's one day he's there and laughing and smiling and with all his teammates. And the next day he's unhappy again, or he needs to be in the spotlight again and in the wrong kind of way. And it's really unfortunate because he's such a crazy talented player. And he's still relatively young, especially with being the type of guy that he is, that takes care of himself the way that he is. He talked about when he first came to the Raiders. There were a few things that stood out to me about what he said when he first came to the Raiders. One of them was that he wanted to be like Jerry Rice. He wanted to have that kind of longevity, essentially what he was saying, play at an all-pro level well into his, you know, mid-late 30s. And I think with the way that he takes care of himself, he absolutely could have done that. I don't think that's going to happen now, not for the Raiders and probably not for anyone. And another thing he said that at the time seemed I gave it a serious side eye, and it kind of stuck with me, that he said he was going to bring accountability to the Raiders. And it's like, what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to be accountable, or is he going to hold others accountable? Either way, it's not exactly something you expect from him at all in any regard. And who is he to come in, if he meant holding others accountable, who is he to come in and say that other guys on the team need to be held accountable? It was a weird statement initially, and it is even weirder now.
Well, he certainly didn't hold himself accountable for anything that he did during his very short time with the Raiders. And he's a good example of the principle that if everyone around you is an asshole, that probably means that you are the asshole. And he's got some serious problems that he needs to deal with before he focuses on football again. And Drew Rosenhaus was out there this morning. Oh, yeah, AB is ready to play football. It's a shame it didn't work out with the Raiders, but we're trying to do some new beginnings here. And I'm just thinking, dude, he's got more important things to think about in his life right now than making money for you.
Well, that's true in some regard. In another regard, I don't think that Antonio Brown can. I mean, you think he's bad when we talk about, like, take Richie Incognito, for instance, and we talk about how he has some mental illness problems and he takes medication for that. And he talks about how things got worse when he was away from football. Things got worse for him, that he would just kind of like tumble down and get in his darkest places when he wasn't in that structured environment with his teammates and playing the game that he loved. And it's a reason why he always works out the way that he does, and the reason that he's still playing in his, you know, well in his 30s, and that he had to come back to the game. And I think Antonio Brown might be a similar situation. He may be continuing to like shoot himself in the foot with regard to actually being able to see the field. But if he's not constantly working toward that end, I think he'd probably be even worse off than he is now, if that's even something that you can imagine, him being worse than he is now. he's constantly putting up these videos of him working to be great at football. If he was told you don't get to play football anymore, what would he do?
I couldn't tell you. He's got a lot of energy pent up, and I don't know what his release for it would be if he's not playing football. Maybe training to impress another football team. I don't know what else he has in his life, to be honest with you. I mean, besides his family, but I don't know what his interests are or if he even has the ability to do anything else, you know, with the kind of passion he's put into football, certainly. But the reason he's stuck with football for so long is because he's so darn good at it. But if he wasn't as good as he was, people wouldn't put up with what they had to put up with from him. Certainly the Steelers wouldn't have put up with him for as long as they did. And I don't know if another team is going to be able to put up with him considering what he's just shown to the Raiders. So I think I've handled it fairly well. I don't know what your opinion is on what, you know, the way Mayock and Gruden have handled the situation. But I think they let him be as long as they could. And then I think they dealt with it in an appropriate fashion. But I'm not sure what the other front offices in the league are going to look at this and say, we need this guy or we're just not going to deal with this like they've done with, like, say, Colin Kaepernick, who doesn't have nearly the issues that Antonio Brown does, but remains unemployed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned a guy like Colin Kaepernick who doesn't have the same issues and can't get a job. But there's also, of course, the elephant in the room of all this is what happened with Khalil Mack last year. I mean, you can't not mention that situation because now two seasons in a row, we're looking at the Raiders just before the season starts, their most talented player by wide margins is gone. They are two different situations, granted, but it's such a mess. How do you start a season this way? How do you continue to do this as a head coach in John Gruden, who essentially put himself in this situation, if you want to look at it in that way? And there's a lot of blame to go around. Certainly most of it lands on Antonio Brown, but if you're of the mind that no one is blameless in this, you have to look at Gruden, who brings in Antonio Brown and throws his unwavering support behind him this entire time, as if he really had any choice but to do that, because that's the only way that he knew he would have any chance of Antonio Brown providing him anything. Paid him a pretty nice looking contract to be here, and then he loses him anyway. But last year, you have this model citizen, best player in the NFL, wants to be paid like the best player in the NFL. Completely understandable. You see it all the time, guys holding out. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott just did it with the Cowboys, and they re-signed him to a deal. And you still have fans saying, you know, oh, Khalil Mack didn't want to be a Raider. Does anybody think Ezekiel Elliott didn't want to be a Cowboy because he held out? Does anybody think that Aaron Donald didn't want to be a Ram because he held out also last season before he finally signed his deal? Is that just like the go-to when a player holds out for more money that they just don't want to be there? And then the other one, of course, is the they couldn't pay Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. That is the biggest lie of them all, because you see that happen all the time. Yeah, sure, he signed with the Bears, who has a quarterback on his rookie contract. But again, you look at the Rams. They just paid Jared Goff, and they also paid Aaron Donald the year before that. It absolutely can and is often done over and over again that teams pay these players. So they wouldn't pay Khalil Mack, who has no off-field issues, is an absolute monster on the field all the time. And they would pay and bend over backward for Antonio Brown. Why? I can think of only two reasons. And if you can think of any others, then you can go ahead and jump in with that. But two reasons. Antonio Brown plays on offense. And John Gruden is all about the offense. He doesn't put the same emphasis on defensive players, which I feel sorry for Paul Gunther for having to put up with that. And two, because Khalil Mack wasn't his guy. I say with quotation figures, he was drafted by Reggie McKenzie in a draft that that John Gruden actually openly wanted the Raiders to draft Johnny Manziel. And they drafted Khalil Mack, and he goes on to become the player that he was. And then John Gruden has a chance to keep, and he just doesn't see it. He wasn't the guy that he wanted, and he didn't play on offense. So bye. Antonio Brown was the guy that John Gruden wanted, and he plays on offense. So he will put up with it longer than I've ever seen Gruden put up with any player with anywhere near these kind of issues. He didn't put up with Martavis Bryant because Martavis Bryant wasn't nearly as talented. And he had a lot, even fewer issues with Martavis Bryant, aside from the fact that the league's, you know, kind of zero tolerance on the marijuana use issue was reared its ugly head. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we've seen this before from John Gruden dealing with Keyshawn Johnson. He put up with the nonsense for only so long, and then he let him go. But he did put up with the nonsense when maybe another coach wouldn't have. I think Antonio Brown did have more value to Gruden because he played on offense, and that's just the type of coach that John Gruden is. It's just a sad situation to me because this guy could have made the Raiders a really, really good offense, like top 10 offense, if he'd been on his game and played, and he's not going to be there. And it remains to be seen how good the Raiders are going to be without him, but they're certainly not going to be as good without him as they would have been with him. As far as Khalil Mack goes, the whole not wanting to be a Raider thing or not wanting to be whatever team you're trying to sign with, that's a little bit of sour grapes from the fans. I don't think for a second Khalil Mack didn't want to be a Raider. I just think Khalil Mack knew exactly how good he was and wanted to be paid for it, and the Raiders weren't willing to do that. But that's not my decision. That's a decision for them and with their budget and what they want to do. But the Raiders' defense was bad with Mack, and they were bad without him. The only real thing I care about as a fan of the Raiders is, are you a better defense now that you don't have Khalil Mack? And the Raiders have added plenty of pieces on defense. Whether they're going to be better now than they were 2 years ago or 3 years ago remains to be seen. So that's really the only thing that concerns me at this point, because what's done is done. And so I'm looking to see how they perform against the Broncos. The Khalil Mack thing to me is water under the bridge. I there's no going back and changing it. And there's the analysis has been done. They just have to move forward.
I know it's easy to say it's water under the bridge, but what you have to do in any situation is you have to compare the current situation with the past. And what does it mean? What does it mean when you have this situation? And who do you give the benefit of the doubt in any instance? I mean, right now, Antonio Brown has not earned any benefit of the doubt, certainly not with regard to Mike Mayock. Now, if there comes a time where Mike Mayock has done something that makes you question his integrity in this whole type of situation, then you could say, well, what about when Mayock did this thing? And you could give him you question him in that regard. I mean, I've seen others question the Raiders' perspective, and basically what we're doing here right now is, we have to hit this from all angles. You can't just sit here and pound on Antonio Brown as if this world really does have clear-cut villains and heroes, because it doesn't. You look at it with the nuance and the critical thinking skills that we possess. And that being, where do the Raiders' fault lie in this? Obviously, we mentioned the fault in even going this far with this, which I guess there isn't too much fault because, they took a chance. They sent a third and a fifth round pick to the Steelers for the chance that they could be getting a player who immediately upgrades their entire team. It's hard to really fault them too much for that. But when you look
imagine if they'd actually sent one of the three first rounders to Pittsburgh for Brown, like some people thought that they would. How much would they be getting killed today for that?
Oh God, yes. I mean, that's just it. That just goes back to the kind of, what Antonio Brown has done to his own value is that no team was stepping up to give the Steelers anything close to a first round pick for his services. And the first team that showed interest, being the Bills, it looked like that was a done deal until Antonio Brown said, no, I don't want to play there. And And it's like, you know, you just kind of throw your hands up. I would think if you're Drew Rosenhaus or the Steelers, anybody like that, it's like, dude, how delusional are you that you think that you can demand where you want to go, how much you want to make, whether you show up for practice, whether you make guaranteed money at all? Because with every incident, it makes it harder and harder to justify any of it. But back to what I was saying is that, you know, how this came down. And this is, I think that I just saw somebody, some NFL analyst, I'm not even going to mention who it was because it's not important, use the word petty with regard to the Raiders and their fine of Antonio Brown. And I think that's kind of an argument that I saw some people make with regard to the fines that he received for missing practices. And some believe that the Raiders were doing this intentionally, knowing that they were pushing Antonio's buttons to get him to act out and to have a reason to cut him so that they wouldn't have to pay him this season. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case. I really don't think that's the case. I think that they really wanted him to play. They wouldn't have gone through all this that they've gone through if they would be on the field playing for the team. But at some point, they kind of lost patience and wanted to make sure that he understood that he was not above the rest of his teammates. He is a superstar, so he did some special treatment. That's true, but that they wanted to hold him to the same standard. But then you have them make him go out and give an apology to the team, essentially admitting guilt is what he's doing. He's out there saying, "Yeah, I was at fault here," whatever. And they did that by saying, okay, you can avoid suspension if you apologize to the team. And what that suggests in that instance is that he's avoiding suspension, so he's avoiding having his guarantees taken away. And then the next morning, he gets the notification that he's getting fined, and it also carries with it the conduct detrimental to the team, which takes his guarantees away. So playing it that way, as they did, is... How do you not guarantee that he's going to say F you and release me? How do you not think that that's the only result that's going to come from that?
Well, I mean, if you're accusing the Raiders of being petty, I mean, good Lord, look at what Antonio Brown has done essentially every day for the last month. If that's not petty, I don't know what is. I don't know how you can call the Raiders.
Hey, there's more than a lot of people can be petty. It isn't just like this guy's petty, this guy's not. And there's plenty of petty to go around, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, taking away his guarantees, I mean, they had to know that that was going to set him off. I mean, they've had him in the building for a long time. They know how he ticks. They know how he works. You know, if this was a coordinated plan, you know, it was hatched weeks ago. They must have come to a conclusion that this is probably not going to work out. Maybe they were hopeful, but finding him for – you know, missing practice when he was mad about his helmet. I mean, they had to be aware that would set up a chain reaction. And this can't be a surprise, not to them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's not a whole lot of surprise with all of this. The question, I guess, becomes, was their intention to set him off and cause him to not want to be on the team? Or was it just to say, okay, we're done giving him special treatment. We're going to fine him just as we would every other player for the things that he's done, and knowing that there's a very distinct possibility that he's going to rebel and want out. But at this point, they were like, they just stopped caring. They were just kind of,
yeah,
what happens, happens.
I think so. I think the more special treatment you give a guy like that, who's clearly unstable, and is clearly doing things that are not in the best interests of the team, the more you do that, the more you risk losing your locker room. And the more risk you have of giving the message to your other players that this guy's special and you're not, and we're going to treat him a certain way and you're going to be treated like everyone else. And that's not a good message to send to the team. When Mike Mayock came in here and John Gruden came in here, and the message that they had for us was, we're changing the culture of the Raiders. We're going to build a stronger team. We're going to build a team that does business the way NFL teams ought to do business and the way we see other teams do business, like good teams like the Eagles and the Patriots and teams like that. They're not going to put up with the kind of nonsense that Antonio Brown has. They would find they would do exactly what Mike Mayock has just done. And that's the way you build a championship team. I got to be honest with you. you know, as much as we don't like the Patriots, that's how you build a model franchise. That's what it is. It's what it looks like. And if the Raiders are going to do that, more power to them, but they're going to piss off Antonio Brown, which is exactly what they did. So I don't think for a second that there was any sort of, oh no, Antonio Brown reacted poorly to our fine of him. No, that was the point the entire time, to show that everybody in that locker room, that Antonio Brown is not God, that he's not special, and that everyone in the locker room is equally important to the team. I think that's a good message to send in the long term. In the short term, it's probably going to hurt the team, but in the long term, the Raiders are going to be better for it.
Do you think that they, some people are questioning the way that they handled that last little bit there. Should they have been up front with Antonio Brown when they said, okay, we're not going to suspend you, but we're still going to fine you for conduct detrimental to the team, and that's going to avoid your guarantees? Up front with him with that instead of dancing around it so that he went out and he apologized, and they went through this whole game about him playing on Monday only to drop the bomb on him the next morning.
Yeah, it probably would have been better for us all to get the news that he was quitting yesterday afternoon instead of, you know, at, you know, early in the morning on Saturday, so I could have slept in another couple hours. It would have been nice for me. As far as John Gruden, I'm pretty sure he was aware that Antonio Brown was not going to be part of the team for the last several days, and I hope he's game planning with that in mind. In the end, I don't think it would have mattered at all, really. It's just, if he's going to be that much of a baby, then he needs to get treated like it. So, yeah, I don't really think it would have mattered in the end.
You don't think it would have mattered if they had been up front or whether they had done it the next morning?
Maybe, but it would have delayed the inevitable by a day.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. And I mean, it was a little bit of a sneaky move, though. You gotta admit it, because it's like I said, you know, you get him to go out there and say he's sorry, so he's admitting guilt. And essentially, what I've been saying this whole time is I don't think that they started this process, that process being when Mayock sent that letter to him notifying him of the fines for missing practice. I don't think his end goal at that moment was to push Antonio Brown off the team and not have to pay him. But I think that they realized at that point that if that's what happens, so be it. And more importantly, they had to have a paper trail from the start that gave him no leg to stand on in any kind of potential grievance with the NFL to try to get his guaranteed money back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was not done with the idea of pushing off the team, but they had to understand that that is a logical thing that could have come of it, and in the end it did.
I think when it comes right down to it, they would have much rather had him just swallow his pride, show up for practice, show up for the game and ball out and be the player that they traded the players for him to be.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have rather that happen, but when has he ever done that in his entire career? Has he done that once? Has he ever one time swallowed his pride and just put his head down?
Yeah, well, not swallowed his pride for sure. That's why that's why some are thinking that they did this on purpose, knowing that there was no way that he was going to take these fines lightly and in stride and with grace and take the high road someplace. If he's ever been there, it has been a long time since he's driven on that road. So, I mean, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I don't really buy into the idea that the Raiders' intentions were to push him off the team from the start. I think, like I said, where I stand is they had reached the point where they didn't care one way or the other. Okay, that's not necessarily true. I would say they're probably about 60-40. They wanted him to play and put up with it, but the needle had moved enough to where they were like, they're willing to deal with the consequences should he rebel against it. And the moment he asked for his release, they had other options. He asked for his release, but they didn't have to release him. They could have let him stay like could have placed him on the left failed to report list for the first game and then cut him after that. And there was some thinking that they might do that just for the, you know, the purposes of, you know, not having to pay him anything or whatever. But he asked to be released, and as soon as they could draw it up, he was gone. I mean, it was like probably two, three hours maybe after he sent out that that Instagram post asking to be released, and the Raiders put out a very, very short but sweet press release that said the Raiders have released wide receiver Antonio Brown from the team today. That's it. No other nothing. No stats. No, thank him for his services. Nothing. Just okay. Bye bye.
Yep. That was a bye Felicia in print form. And it was interesting to read how short it was.
Yeah, they have one practice today, before they're full speed ahead to the Monday night opener. And I was really, really hoping, as we started out this podcast, you could tell, I was really hoping the next time we got on this on the pod, it was to be to preview the first game of the season. I think a lot of people have been really hoping to move on to actual football at some point. And with Antonio Brown off the team, maybe we can do that. You know, he's going to keep saying stuff that people are going to be interested in knowing what he's blathering on about now, that we're going to have to discuss here. But I don't think finally he's going to be the glaring story that team news anymore, which is quite a relief.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good players on the team, and there's a lot of really good stories on the team. So I hope now we have the time and opportunity to write about them, because Antonio Brown is not the Raiders. Yeah. He was not the Raiders. We shouldn't treat him like he is. He was a guy that they sent a couple of draft picks for, and he came in and he flamed out. So let's just move on.
A lot of people bought his jersey. I wonder how they're feeling right about now. The collector's item.
Maybe it'd be interesting to buy a jersey for a guy who never played a snap in the team that the jersey is for.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen very often that you have a player whose like jersey was such a big seller for, you know, which happens with the new team and that player, I mean, barring like situations where there's like an injury or something, maybe. But to have him released before the season even starts, before he's ever actually worn that jersey officially in a game. I mean, he wore that jersey on the sideline a couple of times, like against the Cardinals. He showed up, you know, when he first finally came back, and he was suited up. Even though he wasn't playing, he was on the sideline in full pads and jersey, like as if he was saying, well, this is the only chance I'm going to have to wear this, so I'm gonna keep it on. I'm not taking this off yet because they're going to release me before the season starts, or I'm going to ask to be released before the season starts, so I better soak it in now. Yeah, prophetic.
Yeah. This is a great example of when keeping it real goes bad. Because he could have just kept his nose to the grind and paid his fines and kept being on the part of the team and made $800,000 for his first game check and been cool. But he decided to keep it real and get in a fight with Mike Mayock and not do any of the things he was supposed to do as a professional. And so this is what he gets. And I'm glad I don't have to write about him so much anymore.
Yeah, well, the Raiders were hoping that, everybody was hoping that. It would have been good for him. It would have been good for the team. Would have been good for the fans. But in the end, it's another cautionary tale yet again. And I feel bad for Raiders fans. I wish they would stop defending the wrong things in these types of instances. Like last year, you know, trying to trash Mac after what he did to the team, and then this year, just they defended Antonio Brown time and time again, trashing the media for overblowing it and making too much of this stuff right to the end. Even now, I see them saying, you know, like, well, this doesn't mean anything. You still blew everything out of proportion. It's just like, you know, I feel bad for you. If you would only learn, if you would stop getting hit with your own brick, and I don't know, realize something other than than defending things and saying it's too early to panic until it's too late. And it's too late. And this, I think we've said enough on this issue. I'm hoping the next time we get on the horn, it will be to talk some football. And I'm not sure if that'll be before the Broncos game or not. I'm not sure if I have the energy, but I'll try to muster it up. So for now, from Tyler and myself, have a great rest of your Saturday from the Silver and Black Pridecast.